Hello and welcome, listeners, to Radio Mirai. This is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is the second hour, and this is the time we have our discussion. And today I have my guests in the studio, and we are going to discuss an issue related to the peace process in the country, and it's related to the high-level revitalization forum. But the topic also is narrowed down to the issues of peace and justice. So we are trying to look into areas where there is a relationship between peace and justice. And we are trying also to see how each can complement one another. And my guests in the studio, I would like them to introduce themselves so that the listeners are familiar with their voices. So let me start clockwise from 12 o'clock.
I'm Justice Ajonye Perpetua Paya, the Deputy Chair for South Sudan Law Society, a member of the Transition Working Group, as an institution and as an individual.
Thank you very much, and welcome, Justice Ajonye.
Thank you very much. My name is Jame David Kolok. I'm the Executive Director of Foundation for Democracy and Accountable Governance, which is also a member of the Transitional Justice Working Group.
Welcome.
I'm Reverend James Nindra Udong. I'm the Executive Director of Assistant Mission for Africa, and I'm the current Coordinator Chair for the Transitional Justice Working Group.
Yeah, I think I have all the relevant groups represented here on the issue we are discussing. The three of you are very familiar. You are working on this very, very important and also complicated issue for the average listener who is following events. And we speak now about the relationship between the high-level revitalization forum, which has already gone into two phases, and we are going into the third phase. And first, let us see how are the issues, I mean institutions of transitional justice, how can they be complementary and complement the peace process? How the Commission on Truth, Healing and Reconciliation and the body which is called the Compensation and Reparation Authority and the Hybrid Court for South Sudan, how can they relate? So we have three things here, and we have the whole thing is linked to the peace process. So the floor is open for you to explain this point to the listeners. And maybe anybody can start. Okay, let me give it to Jemmy.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. First of all, before I respond to the question, I would like to our listeners to know that this is a Transitional Justice Working Group. It's a coalition of civil society that are interested in working on issues of transitional justice. This afternoon, we held what we called our monthly forum. That is a platform that brings civil society members of the community to discuss issues in relation to transitional justice. In terms of transitional justice and the complementarity of the institutions, I think it is important, first of all, to clarify what are the institutions that are provided for in the agreement.
Exactly.
First, Chapter 5 of the agreement, which is talking about transitional justice, reconciliation and healing, provide for three key institutions. One is the Commission for Truth, Reconciliation and Healing, which is sometimes called CTRH. Two is the Compensation and Reparation Authority, which is CRA, and the last one is the issue of the hybrid court. Now, in terms of the complementarity of this institution, first, we have to acknowledge that as much as the agreement provided for three institutions, there are a number of mechanisms that are still there, not necessarily mentioned in the agreement, that are supposed to address issues of transitional justice. However, in terms of the three, I think the agreement tried to bring some relevance in terms of their connection and complementarity. It is quite easy, for example, to say that the agreement provided for clarity in terms of the work of the Commission for Truth, Reconciliation and Healing, which is basically to undertake documentations of historical facts about whatever has happened in the country. Their work is also to look at issues of accepting application from victims and make recommendation to the CRA, Compensation and Reparation Authority, for purposes of compensation. In terms of the hybrid court, I think the hybrid court has also its specific issues to address. The agreement says that the hybrid court will, in one way or the other, be first of all under the mandate of the African Union Commission, and they will be looking into issues of accountability that addresses crimes, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes that are related to genocide, and also emphasize the issue of sexual-based violence. So when you look at all these three, we can all acknowledge that these are fundamentally very important institutions, because one, the Compensation and Reparation Authority is a body that will be able to provide opportunity for remedies for victims of human rights violation and victims of conflict.
Yeah.
Then two, the CTRH will be an opportunity for people to be able to come together and say, to participate in truth-telling and really give an opportunity for victims to be able to ask questions why it has happened to them.
Yeah.
So literally, this in the layman's language, that is how the connection of the three institutions is.
Yeah. And before I go to the other a follow-up question, these institutions, I see they are still on paper. And even those people are talking some progress and so. What is the comment here? What is the cause?
It is true that I think Chapter 5 that provides for this institution has been one of the chapters in the agreement that has got little successes in terms of implementation of those mechanisms. We always keep asking the question of why we are not able to implement this. Mm-hmm. However, I think our focus now as Transitional Justice Working Group is to make sure that we emphasize on the fact that that particular chapter is maintained under the revitalization arrangement,
mm-hmm.
and that this time, just as the transitional government, the opposition groups, and everybody that is interested in the peace process have stated in their positions and pronouncement,
yeah.
that they will be committed to the implementation of the peace agreement in entirety.
Yeah.
So we hope that this time we will see some serious commitment in some of, for example, establishment of the legislation for formation of this institution. Mm-hmm. We want to see the consultation process going on, managed by Ministry of Justice. We want to see the commissioners appointed in a very transparent manner. We want to see African Union meeting their obligation as sanctioned by the agreement to be able to establish the court. And we want to see the Compensation and Reparation Authority being supported in terms of resources, because without resources,
yeah.
that authority is definitely not going to function well.
Yeah. Lastly, on this point, there are maybe things that make this thing delay the formation of these bodies. One is the will, or one or the other might be practical reasons, and the other might be resources. Which one is having the upper hand in this delay or non-implementation factor?
I believe that probably all the above that you have mentioned could have contributed to the slow phase of the implementation or functioning of this institution.
Yeah.
The question of resources definitely is very important. And one of the recent argument that is put forward by those who are supposed to lead the process of implementing this institution is that, for example, we cannot be able to have people move around the country and do consultation because we don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
The country is in violence, the economy is in tatters, and we all recognize that. I think there are fundamental challenges that have seems to have undermined the progress in terms of consultation on the CTRH.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we as civil society also have got issues in terms of, for example, African Union mandate in establishing the hybrid court. We have said that as much as there are some discussion going on, MOU has been discussed with the cabinet. Mm-hmm. As much as there are some kind of recommendations and promises from the Security Council in terms of moving that process forward, we feel that the African Union need to really move forward and expedite this process.
Yes, yes. Thanks, Jim David Kolok, member of the Transitional Justice Working Group. Now, let me move also to the Transitional Justice Working Group position on the High Level Revitalization Forum. Who will take that? Because we have ended with some points being agreed, and still we are going back to the CERT. Justice Ajonia, you can take that.
Thank you very much. dear listeners out there, this is a very vital topic for us in this moment. I just take off straight on the issue of legislation for these bodies, the CTRH,
yeah,
and the CA and the hybrid court. These bodies need legislation to formulate them. And this has to take place immediately. These are some of the steps. You cannot form these bodies without having the legislation. And then, apart from that, you had mentioned the issue, one of my colleague mentioned the issue of also resources being part of it. In Chapter 5, Article 4, Article 1-4 and Article 1-5 of the agreement, Peace Agreement 2015, mentions that the TIGONU shall fully support and facilitate the operation of the CTRH and also cooperate with the hybrid court of South Sudan. And then it goes ahead in clause 5. It mentions that the TIGONU itself has to commit itself fully in relation with African Union and other also African commissions on human rights, on human and people's rights, so as to design the implementation program. So the mandate here, I'm saying the mandate of legislation and support resources all is captured by the law.
Yeah.
So it has to take place. We look at it very urgent. Some questions were asked to us this afternoon as to whether which one is first and which one should come later.
Sequencing. Yeah.
The sequencing. Mm. So the sequence would be one after the other, but in let it
simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. So that because the three bodies, the CTRH and the CRA, that is the Compensation and Reparation Authority,
yeah,
they all inform the hybrid court.
Yeah.
The body of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission does a lot of investigations, reconciliation, and healing of the victims. However, not everybody will be going to the hybrid court.
Mm.
Hybrid court cases will be few, and there will be major cases. So most of the cases will be in reconciliation and truth-telling and healing. That's why the institutions or the private or churches and so on who would deal with the healing and others' reconciliation should go ahead, as the body will still be formed where they will be reporting and coordinating themselves in. And in for Compensation and Reparation Authority, it will also be benefiting the two bodies, the court. Some people need to be compensated. So that will be a body which all these resources would be put, mm-hmm, all together in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So basically, if there is, unless another different question,
yeah,
but there is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, going back to for example, the issue of compensation, reconciliation and truth-telling can be tedious and time-consuming and energy. But also this issue of compensation, it looks tricky because how do you assess? What do you think the way of assessing the damage? Because there are so many degrees of damages and losses.
Yeah. Of course, in reconciliation and healing, sometimes we accept some of these damages and we reconcile ourselves. However, there are areas it will be seen in the magnitude of the different cases of compensations. Mm. There's going to be the collective compensation. That's why there has to be a legislation. Everything will have to be captured in the legislation. There could be some individual legislations. For example, let's imagine the bank which was destroyed in Bantu, for instance. If there are shareholders and these are private, these are huge things. And then loss of lives, and maybe as a group or something, etc., like that, if people are not being forgiven. Mm. So compensation, others can be done in kind. Mm. And this have to appear in the legislation. Others can be done in kind. You construct hospitals, you construct these to those particular community who suffered that. So this has to be put in place by legislation. Another thing which is not widely mentioned is the issue of protection of the victims,
yeah,
and protection of witnesses and protection of perpetrators even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those who have confessed and said, I'm sorry. So you're sorry, you've been forgiven. But are you protected? This is another thing which needs a legislation. Mm-hmm.
But also the question is about who will compensate who? In this, it looks also the person on the street, the man on the street will say, okay, who is going to compensate me? Is it the government? Is it NGOs? Is it what? Is it the person who has harmed me?
Well, compensation, there has to be, that's why I'm calling about, there has to be a legislation. Mm. It will be covered in the legislation where the sources will come from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Whether it will be a pool together and where, from where, donor, body, is it the government, who caused what, and what are you compensating?
Yeah.
What amount?
Yeah, Reverend James Nindro, I have asked the two panelists here about the complementarity of the institutions, and you are also coming from a religious background. You might have a view on this also, how peace and these institutions can complement one another.
Well, during the our session this afternoon, the title actually was like peace versus justice. Which one come first and which one come later? But to me, I see peace by itself does not stand without justice prevailing. And justice by itself will not stand without peace prevailing. So the two come together and you treat them equally and take them at their face, because peace involves stability, involves that things are running normally, and involves that there is respect to human rights. And when you come to justice trying to put what has been promised into action, make it implementable. Mm. Well, coming to relationship of the three, to me, what we call justice, especially the transitional justice, the three, which is the CTRH,
yeah,
and CRA, and Reconciliation and
Hybrid
Courts,
yeah,
all of these three are the arm of the transitional justice, because they complement each other. If there is no court to prosecute people, then whatever we are saying, it will not be reinforced. Mm. And if there is no truth-telling and confession from the people who are either inflicted harms on people, and then we will not force them to say whatever they want us to mm-hmm. hear, mm-hmm. And so on. So I guess my take in this is that these three need to go together, and the political will here, and the take of the citizen trying to cry for peace, and a listening ear of the authority taking it into consideration and then we will be able to achieve peace, and the three will be working together without any dispute.
Yeah. Let me get back to you with a quick question also, because we have been feeling since the agreement was signed in 2015 that there are people who are attempting to overjump this or delay it so that a political settlement is made, and they seem to be relying on time as a healing element, that time people will forget about all this and they go on. There's no need for all these kind of things. Let us just go for reconciliation and forgiveness. There is no need for these institutions of justice, which can be taken as a way of also hitting back in one way or another. So this argument, does it really hold water?
Well, I don't think that argument is holding water, because that will be a time bomb. And there is psychological side of it. If you press something for long, the day it explodes, it would really crush everybody. Mm. And you wonder why we are having this occurring of violence. This is because it is not treated from the root. People have not been allowed to air out their grievances. People have not given the chance for them to air out, and people listen to them. And people have not been comported.
Mm-hmm.
This three component of the transitional justice is actually addressing the root causes and also mm-hmm. addressing the psychological
yeah.
Side of it, which is involving trauma. And the level of trauma in South Sudan, according to the specialists, is very high.
Very high. Now, let me get a quick comment on this from Jim and from Justice Ajonya.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think in regards to implementation of transitional justice and which of the mechanism really matter more, I would say that reasonable and effective transitional justice must be implemented in a holistic way. Mm-hmm. In a holistic way, because I can say about a year ago or so, there was a research that was conducted by South Sudan Law Society, mm-hmm. Funded by UNDP, mm-hmm. Asking people's perception as to what justice actually means to them. And when you look at that, you'll find that there are different definition of justice and preference of what mechanism of justice actually means justice to the people that are asked. Now, there are those that look at justice just like, I want to know why it has happened to me. I want to know who has killed my brother. There are others who want to look at justice in terms of making sure that whoever has committed that crime faces the law, and that is punitive justice. Mm. So when we recognize the fact that there are different preferences in the country, then we also have to argue that as we implement this, we need to design this process in a way that satisfies the recommendation and wishes of the people. Mm. Now, if we go ahead to just do it selectively and impose a mechanism that for me, for example, I feel that is better for me, then like what Reverend has said, is likely to be counterproductive, mm-hmm. because then the entire process and objective of transitional justice would then be dead.
Yeah. In addition to the answering the question also, Justice Ajonye, I can add also that there is a perception, some people are arguing even to add that these mechanisms are alien. And they argue that we have our own local mechanisms that we can resort to in resolving issues like this. What is also the response to this one and the other argument?
Something indigenous for resolving these issues can also be found in the Commission of Truth,
mm-hmm.
Reconciliation and Healing. That is African in its nature. Not only that, the national dialogue which we have now, this is complementing to that, even mm-hmm. if they have slightly different mandates.
Yeah,
those are some of the local ways of solving these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not foreign the component. It may be in English, but the practice is not foreign. And the courts of judicature, well, we have been having them. Hybrid court is just courts of judicature, only that it is transitional, it is short-term, the scope, and there may be the personalities inside, because of impartiality, may not be faces who are around. So to make sure justice is achieved with that interest. So these are not foreign. The other positive part of the complementing this work of the three bodies is that, especially in the Commission of the Truth, Reconciliation, Truth Telling, is that it will make work easier for the investigators and also the prosecutors. Of course, there's a lot of confidentiality which will be covered in the legislation, but there are areas, for instance, I'm giving an example of, if my name, Justice Ajonia, appears in the mouths of people we're interviewing, maybe 100 times, so the commission will have to come to me and prepare me whether I did such a thing. I'll be called privately. And then whatever I did, whether I'm ready to confess publicly, if I'm ready, what is my protection anyway at the end?
Yeah.
So all this, not everybody, that's why I'm saying not everybody will be in the hybrid court. Yeah. The rest will be handled locally.
Yeah. Let me go quick and yes, you want to say something?
Yes, Reverend. I could complement what she is saying. Mm. You know, the issue that this is foreign and this is alien to us, I think it doesn't come. Because we have experience. And if I could talk of the experience that we had, I think all of you have heard of Wunlit process.
Wunlit, yeah.
And Lilir and all these
many
pieces that we did in this country. That those initiatives are the one brought the CPA that we are celebrating today. But also, if I could go further, this is a religious approach into a conflict.
In
the churches, and I think I believe also in the mosques, people are being counseled and preached to them every day about how to do peace and all this. All this kind of thing are efforts to try to install into the people's mind how they behave and how they will keep this peace that is already God given to us. Mm. So I think it is not alien. Maybe as Justice said, maybe because we are talking in English. Otherwise, if I'm talking in my language now,
you can explain
the people
that.
Will understand that this is not foreign.
Listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar. I'm having Justice Ajonia Perpetua and David Kolok and Reverend James Ninro. All of them are members of the Transitional Justice Working Group, and we are discussing today the relationship and the complementarity of justice and transitional justice institutions in relation to the peace process in South Sudan, and also making justice to those who have been harmed during the conflict. And I'll be picking your calls. The numbers are 091206-2079 and 091206-2950, and the SMS line is 091217714141. And I'll be picking your calls after this interlude.
استمعوا لأخبار راديو ميرايا حول وعن ولشعب جنوب السودان.
There are over 60 tribes in South Sudan, all different but all beautiful. See the beauty of the mountains, see the beauty of our cultures, beautiful colors and people, beautiful voices, beautiful languages. All tribes put together, they make a beautiful South Sudan. United by the great River Nile, let's be proud to be the youngest country in the world.
This message is from South Sudan Peace and Reconciliation Commission with support from United Nations Development Programme, UNDP.
Nationwide, time for talk.
Yes, it's time to pick your calls now and comment and even ask a short question to the guests in the studio. Hello, Nationwide.
Nationwide.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you very much. You are speaking to Santino Cormen calling from the Virginia.
Welcome, Santino.
Yes, thank you very much. My greeting goes to our guests in the studio.
Yes.
For this organized and well program that they have been carrying out today.
Thank you.
So my question to our guests in the studio is actually we ask the youth of South Sudan, we are really suffering. We want peace and justice in South Sudan. With the spirit of unity and togetherness, how can we make South Sudan to be a better place for us to stay in without no issue of killing each other and what very many other crimes that are going on now in the country?
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Santino, for your question there. Hello, Nationwide. Hello, well, Nationwide, yes. Yes, welcome, Isaac. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. First and foremost, I recognize our guest to be live in the studio.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. My first question is concerning about the justice, really. My first question about the justice is, for example, today you might be accused of that you, Mr. X or Mr. Y, did this. And finally, when people go through a legal procedure, you might be poop innocent.
Mm-hmm.
What should be the case that the person who was being accused wrongly and the person who even didn't do anything wrong?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for that question, Isaac. Hello. Hello, Nationwide.
Yeah. Good evening, Gabriel Joseph Shadar.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's Agil Mubok Agil from Wow.
Welcome, Agil.
Thank you, Gabriel Chadar. You see, Gabriel, this issue of peace and justice in the Republic of South Sudan, you see, implementation of justice is a great factor, and it's a major factor that is affecting our country.
Mm.
You find someone killing, you see, if someone who murder, someone is allowed to move just freely, you see, and this person will also continue to kill more people. And later on, if that person is caught and brought to book, you see, the court will also delay. And the more the court delay, the more the parents, the family, or the relatives of that person
mm-hmm.
who killed someone will also be able to move up and down here trying to make sure it's right,
mm-hmm.
the judge. And thereafter, the person will now end up escaping in the prison. I'm really very excited with one thing. Since I came out, I had never seen or heard someone escaping in this prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, in Wau prison, this is just a normal prison. If you see, I think you know it very well. And there is no one who ever escaped. You cannot escape in that prison. It meaning that the demonstration of that prison is very strong.
Yeah.
And as a result, you see a person who murder someone escape and just move around. Then the brothers or the relatives of the relatives of someone who have been killed.
Yeah, we've got that point.
Move around and kill that person.
Yeah, we've got that point. Yeah.
Yes, with this, what plans do we really have as South Sudanese citizens?
Okay.
And our authorities.
Okay.
The authorities in the government of South Sudan. What plans do we have to ensure that this one is at least minimized?
Thank you.
You see, let the law take its course. If you do something wrong,
yeah,
the law must take its course against you. This is the first question. The second question also is the situation where Azul al-Shab, Mumkin Hamid, who beat Kabir, Be Umur, Maslan, he's done 20 years, 21 years. And later on, Nasbeji, Halal Bid, already beat the Bukun Chara, and that was not allowed. Min Bodri, and David Kabir.
Yeah, that might be.
Lamani Amilu, yes, Lamani Amilu, Nazawal Bidri.
Yeah, I got the point, yes.
Exactly, yes. This is just a forgery.
Yeah, okay.
You got to go to Mabak of Yarva, Jadin. Later on, will the Abukun victim? Because the region is in your Sana Hacharasana, I will be Bukalu. You can leave it. We dream at the dream of Kanum and the men.
Thank you.
There's an agreement between the boy and the girl.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The other thing of social issues is not related here because we are talking about peace and peace-related issues. Hello, Nationwide.
Hello, Gabriel. Gabriel Joseph Chadar.
Yes, McCreary. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Gabriel. I'm really very concerned.
Mm.
Our guests are really brought up a very good initiative debate, which is really special. You know, Gabriel, in South Sudan, people are talking peace, yet there are some people who are trying to promote discouragement of, they don't want really to accept the peace so that it can prevail in South Sudan. Like now, for example, you have seen that, as Agewa has mentioned, you have seen people are not listening to their people. Which language, really, that our people are needing? Is it the local language that are to be taught so that they have to listening very well? Or which language are we really going to speak to our people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really confused, and I am concerned as a citizen of this country that peace must be accepted, and let we ourselves must accept ourselves so that peace must to be at the grassroots level, whether international level or the state level. So
yeah.
People must accept this. What are the priorities to our guests in the studio that they can promote peace so that people must accept it?
Yeah.
To our agenda, which is now in the studio, to the side of the ladies, do the ladies are listening to their boys so that they must accept peace, so that ladies must not really encourage this fighting, because there are some ladies who are saying that, oh, if our people are killed, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't have children. If I could have to have a children, they would have to go and revenge. Do the ladies are listening to their voice?
Okay.
What will be the response?
Okay.
To her side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a number of good questions, but I'm left with 8 minutes only. Mm-hmm. Would have carried on for 2 hours, but unfortunately we have limited time to go out of here. Let me give each one of you 2 minutes and or 1 minute and a half to say a quick comment on the questions that have been raised.
Just to the listeners outside there, the centrality of every life of ours in South Sudan this time is a priority that we must have peace. And we should have peace in the small nitty-gritties, whether small groups, whether churches or communities, we must have embrace peace. And the small peace groups combine the whole, it grows the bigger peace, the whole country.
Mm.
And for ladies out there, as requested by one of the listener, is important for them to get this this message that all of us have to talk peace, and let's try to forgive first ourselves, and then before the men will take over. And then also, I know they know, because many are putting on black clothes just because of what has happened since 2016 or 13 and all this. Many women are putting on black clothes in the house. Those who are putting on black clothes on their body, this is the time we need to call for peace and also forgive and also give way forward for other situations. About other crimes, which are domestic crimes,
yeah,
which were mentioned, I think this time this program is for a bigger one,
yeah,
which is transitional justice. But the general principle is that everybody is innocent unless he's proven to be guilty,
yeah,
or you have confessed that you are actually or you're convicted by courts of judicature.
Mm.
So when justice is also delayed, it is denied. That is the fact. But also when justice is hurriedly done,
yeah, yeah,
with interests, political interests, is actual justice bad. Now, about the age issue, we know that some ages have been purported, which is also a crime. If there are evidence to that, and then they open their own cases, individual cases.
Yeah.
Briefly, just what I would say in these few minutes is that in chapter 5, my prayer is that these institutions need a reform and complete upholding the three institutions. And these three institutions play their cards differently. They have also their birth children, the babies, especially the Commission on Truth, Healing and Reconciliation. It has some babies. And one of them are projects, for example, on healing. Psychological people are going, you go in the market, see how a woman would move like 30 minutes up and down, and she's talking alone on the prices of what to buy, and you are talking alone to yourself. In offices, you see people are singing songs of funerals. In office, you even forget you're talking alone.
Yeah.
Even the perception, how you receive visitors at the reception point, sometimes you're so harsh. All this is unique to us because of the problems we created onto ourselves. So basically, I would say let's come to our conscience and get back like human beings fully, so that we really embrace ourselves and have the really South Sudan in peace, and also taking the chapter fully.
Thank you, Justice Ajonye. Let me go quickly also to James David.
Yeah, thank you very much. Somebody wanted to know how can we make South Sudan a better place. In reference to peace, I think the responsibility of creating peace and stability lies with the South Sudanese. Everybody has got a stake in making sure that they engage themselves either as individual, families, clans, communities, states, and nation. All of us have got a stake in pushing for the necessary avenues through which we can move out of this violence. However, one of our real recommendation is that sometimes we as ordinary citizens seems to be trying our best to pursue peace in our own small and different ways. Unfortunately, sometimes we seems to have been taken hostage by people that do not recognize that South Sudan is actually bigger than their individual interests. So our call is that as we talked about the revitalization process and as we go to the third phase of this discussion, the politicians there should recognize that this country is bigger than their interests, and therefore they need to take quick decisions that is able to salvage us from this mayhem of the very unnecessary violence.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Yes. Yes, Reverend James, you have like 1 minute and a half.
Okay. Yeah. I'm very grateful. I just want to highlight some few issues. One, because one of the youths here talks about that the youth want peace. I agree with you, but it's not only youth, it's all of us. Everybody in this country needed peace. How it will come, I think that is a joint effort of all of us. And for your information, youths are majority in this country. If you play your card well, you will be the one to bring peace. Because within the opposition, the number of people who are fighting are youths. Within the government, the number of people who are fighting are youths. And by saying youths here, I don't mean only boys. Everybody who is youth, even including our girls. The other thing for our politicians, I think we need to learn from around us. And the example of Kenya, just 1 week ago, or how many days ago?
A few days,
I think is challenging to us. And when I was, it happened when I was in Nairobi. And I was like, why this is not happening in my country? Why not people deny themselves and upload the country, put it. And this morning I was listening to one Egyptian singer. He's saying, in Arabic, he's saying, "Khalul," "Khudul makasib wa khudul makatib, lakin khalul watan." This is a very important thing. If you are after makatib, which is offices, and after makasib, which is benefits, take them, please, but leave people. Leave the people to enjoy this country that we fought for.
Thank you. Very nice conclusion there. Thank you very much, Justice Ajonye Perpetua. Thank you very much, Jim David Kolog. Thanks very much, Reverend James Ninru, members of the Transitional Justice Working Group. Thanks for being here. We hope you will be coming back again. We have another discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar, on Radio Miraya.